lofty debt. This is WRWK 93.9 FM, Richmond, Virginia.
Tears at the fabric of our nation, and the tragic realization is that future generations will pay the big price. Wake up and shake it up, America. From north to south, from east to west, from sea to shining sea, our government is a fight for we the people who can't ignore that we shall reap what we sow. So we better sow carefully. This land is your land.
This land is my land.
If we come together and work together, we can pull the weeds that threaten to destroy our land. I hope and pray you understand, we cannot reap a good harvest with a bunch of bad seeds. Wake up and shake it up, America. From north to south, from east to west, from sea to shining sea, our government is a fight for we the people who can't ignore that we shall reap what we sow. So we better sow carefully.
Abraham Lincoln proclaimed, "We are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, not of the corporations, by the corporations, and for the corporations." He also observed, "You can fool all of the people some of the time, and some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time."
Wake up, shake it up, America.
Our government is a fight for we the people who can't ignore them. So we better sow carefully. Wake up and shake it up, America. North to south, from east to west, from sea to shining sea, our government is a fight for we the people who can't ignore that we shall reap what we sow. So we better sow carefully. Wake up and shake it up, America.
Now's the time to finally realize we the people must make some choices. If we want health care for all, now's the time to raise our voices till they hear us in the halls of government and behind each corporate door, that we're sick and tired of getting less and less while paying more and more. Put human need before corporate greed. Join with many doctors, nurses, and other concerned Americans who believe health care is a right, and without health care for all, there is no liberty and justice for all. Let them hear us!
Medicare for all,
because healthcare is a right.
Medicare for all,
and the U.S. saw the light
that every woman, child, and man should have healthcare in this land.
Now's the time to finally put it on the table. Contact your legislators and tell them to save Medicare as we know it and expand it into Medicare as we need it. Improved Medicare for all, because your interests are special too.
WRWK 93.9 FM, The Work FM, broadcasting from Midlothian to Chesterfield and the greater Richmond, Virginia area. That's, is this my light? Right here. Okay. All right. All right, this is DJ Strider. You're listening to WRWK 93.9 LPFM. Blasting out at 3 watts, is it? 3 watts?
30 watts, please.
Oh, 30 watts, 30 okay. Watts. 10 times more powerful than I thought.
Can you number two and number three?
What's that?
Turn two and three up.
Woo woo, that's me.
All right.
And all right,
I'm turning you down.
At least you know where I come from, yeah.
And Roger, here, let me slide around for the. Oh, just move my back. I'm sorry, I lost it right in the little road.
So we're just going to do a little informational fundraiser, talk about our programming, talk about how you can send donations. Donate securely on our PayPal link at theworkfm.org or on Facebook. What's the button on Facebook that you have to hit for donating?
You hit the Contact Us button.
And on Facebook, hit the Contact Us button. Anything you send will be appreciated.
Indeed. Add all the zeros you want.
Add the zeros. $5 a month. That's, like I've said before, the cost of your favorite latte, so you can afford that.
Once a month, I should say so. I've given up many a latte to do this. In fact, this is like smell the coffee time on the station.
A lot of lattes there.
Well, I don't smell any coffee. Where's my damn coffee?
Damn. Did you forget his coffee?
Run out of
stroke. Uh-oh.
What we need is an espresso machine.
Are we all coming through? Where's me?
So, we are Richmond, Virginia's only progressive news and talk radio station. We have a wide variety of programming, probably more diverse even than some of the bigger non-profit stations.
Mm-hmm.
We play Democracy Now. We have news programming. Oh, that just closed. How do I get that open again?
Uh-oh.
There we go.
Not sure I'm
news programming, news and commentary and analysis. So we have straight-up news. Now I hear a lot of fuzz in that. I don't know where that's
Uh-oh.
Coming from. I feel like that's been in the background for a while.
Is so that number four?
That's number four. Makes fuzzy sounds.
Well, I'm coming through. Oh, I'm on the... Yeah, we've got a new panel here we're playing with, and maybe we'll have to throttle it some.
So we have straight-up news shows. We also have news commentary and analysis. We have interviews and solutions-oriented shows, arts and entertainment shows that focus on gender, race, spirituality, and wellness, and quite a bit of environmental programming. I know that the Richmond, Virginia area is a very popular place for mountain bikers and hikers and bird watchers and people who like to do various vehicles on the river. So we've got a lot to offer.
Mm-hmm.
So just to mention a couple of the shows more specifically, in our news programming, we start off a little explanation about our programming. So we're not a fully staffed station all the time, so we pre-record a six-hour loop that repeats three additional times. And while that might seem limited, the advantage of that format is if you have a favorite show and you can't catch it, say, let's you want to hear Democracy Now!, but you can't be available at noon, you can catch it at 6, you can catch it at midnight, you can catch it at 6 the next morning, and that way you'll be able to take your shows in. So when I mention a time that a show is on, for example, Democracy Now! Is on weekdays, Monday through Friday at noon, from noon to 1. We also have another news program called Counterspin that sort of tries to get to the more accurate part of the news and unspin some of the things that we're told. We have the Women's International News Gathering Service, WINGS.
Yes, one of my favorites.
WINGS, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to women.
There you go. On Thursdays at 4 o'clock, 4:30, sorry, 4:30. Monday through Thursday, unless we get something from the Sierra Club, and then it's Monday through Wednesday, we have Literature Aloud, where we have various novels and short stories read on air.
Mm-hmm.
So we've read 1984 right now. We're in the middle or towards the end of Looking Backwards.
Jeremy Bellum.
Late 19th century novel by Edward Bellamy.
Yeah
excellent novel. Very interesting novel. When it first came out, actually, Americans were so excited about it that they formed reading clubs all over the country called nationalist clubs.
No kidding.
But they're a different kind of nationalist than the ones we have today. They were more socially oriented.
Oh.
And so it was a big hit when it came out, and it's got a lot of very interesting ideas in it. So that's on right now. We also do short stories, do some Fitzgerald short stories, Ray Bradbury. So Mondays through Thursdays, Literature Aloud. Wing, the Deep Dive Cybersecurity Show. That's something that we also feature.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. Great
Very
insight.
Nice. Yes.
Yeah.
Deep.
Good information. It's Sunday nights, 5 to 6, and he'll give you all the weekly data breaches, which you might want to know. You might be involved with a company or an investment group or something where there's been a data breach, and they might not tell you. Well, you'll get it from Nick.
Yeah.
He also has been discussing AI and problems with social media, and he's on. He gives TED talks. He's quite an expert in that field.
Yes, he's one of the people I really go to for information. There's so many people talking about stuff. He's a good source.
Yeah, Nick Espinoza, very good source. We have a local news program that's focused on medical issues. Very short, though, called Patients Come First.
Oh.
And that's in the Virginia Hospital Healthcare Association. And that's on Wednesdays at 1 o'clock. Those are usually about 15 minutes. And we follow that up with a sometimes something about by Robert Reich. And then after that, This Way Out, which is the... I think
gay
the
lesbian.
Only international syndicated gay and lesbian queer issues radio program. And that's half an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to get that on WRIR.
Yeah, I think they still play it. Mm-hmm. I think they still.
That's locally produced, right?
Yes, yes, yeah. I believe it is. Tom Hartman Show, Mondays, weekdays.
What a mind.
Yeah, 2 to 3. Very good. He'll have book discussions. He has call. We play the best of. His actual show is 3 hours long, and we don't have the space for that. But we play the best of 1 hour from Tom Hartman. And during that, you get interesting discussion, excerpts from not just books that he's written, but from guests that he'll have on. And then he has a lot of call-ins. And they're not always people who agree with him. He's one of the top progressive radio shows.
He has counterpoints on. Yeah, I like that. He brings people on.
I listen to the show a lot now.
Yeah, Tom Hartman.
You know, it reminds me when I used to drive cross country 30 years ago, you had intelligent people on talk radio.
What?
They all got lost under the noise machines, but there was a lot of intelligent talk. Bruce Williams comes to mind as a guy who had a 2 or 3 hour talk show. When you hear it, when you drove cross country, he was one of the AM stations that, and talk was intelligent. At some point in time, it left the rails. It left the rails of normalcy. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut in, Lee. Go ahead.
No, that's you're right on time. It left the rails when some people found how much money they could make by giving a different, more perhaps inflammatory style of programming. We try to avoid that here.
It must sell a lot of hemorrhoid cream.
This program brought to you by...
Happy people.
Inflammation.
And it's not just all serious news and talk. We also have programs like the Radio Art Hour, which sometimes involves disturbing or confusing noises, but
don't
they're
I know it.
Definitely carefully curated artists. And
don't be afraid.
Yeah, don't be afraid. If you hear something strange, Mondays at 3 o'clock, if you tune in and you hear something strange, just give it a little while. You hear something interesting
mid-loop.
In there.
Mid-loop. Yeah, mid-loop. It's 3 o'clock is halfway through the loop, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a good one. Green Street News is on 4:30 on Mondays, another one of our environmental programs. And then weekdays we end with the David Pakman Show, unless we have a local program. And he's also widely syndicated and recently was interviewed, I think, on NBC.
Oh.
It's gotten a lot of attention. And he's actually just put out a book. He kind of started it as a whim, but it's a children's book on how to think critically.
I think I've heard about that.
Yeah, he's already sold like 10,000 copies, so we want to get a couple of copies to distribute to local libraries.
We need some in Virginia. We need to give them to the school boards.
Absolutely. We send one to the governor, maybe?
Yeah.
You know, listen in there, Governor Youngkin. We got a book for you. In fact, that would be a good idea. We should send it from the station.
You know, when I think about this book banning, I think, has anybody read the Bible lately?
Right. You want to talk about... disturbing content. Let's see. We start out in the book of Genesis with generations of incest. That's just, you know, that's the story. They didn't spell it out, but it couldn't have happened any other way. So,
for thousands of years.
Right. You got Methuselah.
Yeah.
I definitely wouldn't want to have heard about his ailments. That probably would have been a long list.
Methuselah lived 900 years. Methuselah lived 900 years.
It's bad living 90 years.
Was it 900? Oh, well.
I love how everybody thinks it would be great to live forever. It's like, no.
I tell you, at 76, I'm thinking, how much longer can I go on, you know? Some parts of me are falling off, you know? Cross-eyed.
Methuselation.
Methuselation, right. I love it.
Let's keep it positive.
Turn in the verb there. Occasionally, we'll intersperse with recordings of Alan Watts, a pretty well-known Buddhist teacher, and he actually made some observations about how people idealize the idea of living forever and how it really wouldn't be that pleasant. And he kind of spells it out in an interesting way. Let's see. Tuesdays, we have the Children's Hour at 3 o'clock, which is produced by Kids Public Radio. Yeah, they always have a lot of good music. the kids are in there. Interesting topics. It's always very informative.
And accessible, too.
Right, right, right. So it's not just for kids?
Yeah.
Between the Lines at 4:30 on Tuesdays, another news program. Let's see, Civic Cipher on Wednesdays at 3.
I missed that.
Yeah, it's a really good show. The couple of guys, I should know their names. I've been listening to them. Ra is one of the guys, and Kendi, I think. But a couple of black guys talking about race issues, and they're the ones that got a...
That's the guy that's statues of
it. Copyright on... I can't think of it right now. They were in the news for getting the copyright on something that... it's very interesting. I'll have to check that out. Another local show, Choose to Be Curious, 4:30.
Oh, yeah, I love
that. On Wednesdays. Yeah. And that's kind of a, you know, I've filed it under interview, informative. It's also kind of a wellness show, I think.
Can't get too well.
What are some of our local shows, Ron?
Well, of course, one of the things I'm most proud of, it, Roger has brought in two nights a week, local, really good singer-songwriters who show up at open mics, and they have been amazing. And not only the thing about the music that I find fascinating, it changes people. When people put that much time into something, it
actually, these guys play gigs for money most of the time too.
Yeah, they actually.
And open mics is such an art too. Like when I used to host my own open mics, it was called Word of Mouth Social Club. It's even an art to facilitate and put together the open mic itself.
That,
you have to get the artist, you have to get the music and the venue. And it's a mastery within that, and then seeing the local artists and then their supporters and like the venue is able to benefit. It's just a win-win situation with those.
And we've interviewed open mic hosts.
Yeah, invariably. That's right, the hosts too.
Well, it really gets some good energy going in the discussion.
That's the whole idea, is to bring that boring old normal back where life was working slowly and we were doing all right, you know. And this hair on fire stuff doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
No.
And the governor loves it, and I understand.
Ron's hair is burned off.
I have very little to start with, and it's getting thinner by the day.
I
didn't burn it, but I may act like I have my hair on fire, but that's just the way I speak. No, the thing is, people used to just get by and be very happy with normal, and just day to time, small changes, small setbacks. We learn from our setbacks. We grow. That's how people grow, and we just take it for granted. You know, when Superman comes along and says, "I'll fix all your woes, just give me the keys," you know, you gotta say, "Hey, there's no free lunch. Where's this guy coming from?" You know, we know there's no free lunch.
Well, that's always an interesting saying, though, isn't it? The poo to the people that use that the most. Everything gets paid for. They say there's no free lunch. They're forgetting about the free lunch they just finished. Right, the people who say that. There's no. What, you want social programs? There's no free lunch. Where's my tax break?
That's right.
I want that tax break. I have a yacht on order. Where's my tax break?
That's right.
I worked for this free lunch.
That's right.
Yes, it is. It is funny. The worship of capital gets us into funny binds. We find ourselves contradicting our own beliefs. It fascinates me when you hear about a rich Christian. I don't want to pick on him, but pick your side. I mean, are you rich or are you a Christian? You know,
it's pretty straightforward in the book. You can't love both God and mammon. Jesus was very clear about greed and rich people. And apparently his message is not very popular today. I heard on the news that some churches are starting to believe that Jesus' teachings are too woke.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
It's too liberal. There's a pastor who just published a book, and he said he had parishioners coming up after the program and saying, "Where are you getting these liberal talking points?" And he would say, "Well, this is Jesus in the Bible." And they would say, "Well, that's not going to work today. That's not for today.
Isn't that funny? I know a guy with a red suit who would love to hear that stuff.
My thing is just like, and you cannot please anybody. You can't please anyone.
Yeah, don't try. Don't try. Yeah. Stay true to yourself.
Are you getting on? Can you guys take her off?
She's not coming through very well. Can you give her, what's your
mic number? Which one
is it? She's three, I think.
She's on three?
She's in three. Go ahead and give it another mic test.
Mic.
Oh, no, that's the headset.
Mic.
Huh.
Try number two, then.
Is she not through the other panel, is she?
No.
Okay.
Try again.
Well, they're all turned up.
Hello.
It's not my four, is it?
Four is me.
She's good.
Okay, yeah, I'm not sure that one's working.
Four is turned down a little too much because it has...
this is a brand new one.
This is the fun part of community radio, learning on the fly.
Yes.
Adapting to new equipment. There we go. I can hear you. Yeah, beautiful.
I saw. Is this light supposed to be on right here?
Yeah.
Well, it's not light. It's just
flying. So this is WRWK 93.9 LPFM, broadcasting from Midlothian to Chesterfield in the greater Richmond, Virginia area. Do I have to mention the specific... Henrico, Richmond, Goochland, and Hanover.
I have to say that all the time here. I don't know why. Just in case they didn't know Central Virginia.
I think it's an FCC thing. Our friend from Alexandria, Ben Cobb, said.
That, hey, you want soda?
We're good. So this...
You want soda?
No, thanks.
So
we're talking a little bit about our programming, how the station works here. This is all volunteer, non-commercial... non-profit, non-mainstream, and we call ourselves progressive, so it's not either left or right. We criticize both sides, but we're going to progress beyond the sensationalism of standard media or of talking about things in kind of a hopeless way or just focusing on, it wouldn't be doom scrolling, maybe doom listening, maybe, I don't know.
Yellow.
So we want to clearly identify the problems, but then get to the solutions, and not without some humor. So, for example, on Mondays at 1 o'clock, we have a show called When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine.
That's
guess what that's code for. But that's produced by a couple who have... The Warmkeys. They have their own eco-village, and they live in an earthship, and they talk about building it, and... issues involved. It's a very informative, lighthearted show. So as we talk about the significant challenges we're facing, we're also talking about the solutions with a light heart. Because if the revolution's not fun, nobody's going to come, right? So we got to make it fun and enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. We have to show them we're having more fun being normal and finding solutions than they are starting conspiracy theories every 5 minutes, you know? We're having more fun, we're doing more, and you know, if you look at any religious following anywhere in history, well, virtually all of them, it's all about, hey, be useful to the people, be useful to the people around you, because you've got 95 years on this planet, what do you plan to do with your time? You know, it's not like we had to wait around for the secret answer.
Yes, your contribution doesn't have to be a Pulitzer Prize, they don't need to make statues to you. It might just be listening to a station like this and sending us a little support every once in a while. You can find us online at theworkfm.org. There's a secure PayPal donation button, and we're also on Facebook, and the Contact Us button will get you to the secure PayPal donation link. So just sometimes something small like that, consistent, affordable support of a local media outlet like The Work FM. We're called The Work FM because we're all working people, and we're focused on the values and the struggles of working people and not worrying so much about whether those who already have more than enough can get just a little bit more, because these days that seems like an inappropriate focus.
And the thing about working people is that, like you said, we all know that, you know, we're just trying to have a decent life and, you know, just make a way. And sometimes, like, support is free. Support can be free, you know, a share, a text to your friend about tuning in, you know, sharing it online. Those things are free, but it brings so much value to what the conversations are over here at Work FM. And even if it's not your taste, you know, it might be somebody else's taste. So the goal is to continue to spread the word and small, meaningful, intentional forms of support, whether it's a hello, calling in, asking questions for us to talk. We're literally here to talk. We all love to talk and share our ideas. And, you know, we may not agree on everything, and some things we may agree on, but it's interesting, it's fun, you know, so just support us, man.
It would be boring to agree on everything. You know?
Exactly.
Right, right. And if you want to call, you can call us at 804-464-1089. That's 804-464-1089. And Mia, you had a good point. You know, if somebody can't afford to throw a couple bucks in, they just recommend, listen to us, listen to the shows, and then recommend to their friends. Recommend to at least one person every day. God, you got to hear this station. I heard this interesting story. Or, oh, wow, well, I heard that on the news tonight, but it was on WRWK about a week ago. Because sometimes we get the stories out before you're going to see them on the mainstream news, because our sources don't have all the layers of editorship and filtering that the big money-making media companies do. So sometimes the story will get out here before you're going to hear it on CNN or MSNBC or... Yeah. God forbid, and Fox.
Stories. I was listening to a thing today on the work. He was talking about he went to Congress.
Can you hear? What's number four?
Yeah, it's up.
Huh. But it might be too loud.
Kind of fuzzy.
If it's not fuzzy, you won't hear it.
Well, I'll be darned.
So anyway, yeah.
I hear you up here, Roger.
Okay, yeah, it's like listening to this program that either Pac-Man or was on it about three, and it had this guy, he had gone to Congress and said the global warming was real, tried to explain to them it was real, that the facts, all that in 2100 are, we have real problems. Further on, you know, I'm not a person to quote things that I hear, but it was just something you wouldn't hear.
Turn it forward now, actually. It's acting up.
Push it up or down?
Turn it down.
Yeah, no, I can't hear it.
Let me, can you kill two for a moment?
Bring two down for a moment.
Uh-huh.
When I'm ready to say stuff.
This is when you get warmed up.
We thought we had this all figured out, but apparently we didn't. I'm going to make this a sure mic. Except it's not cooperating.
Pardon us for some minor technical adjustments. You're listening to WRWK 93.9 FM, and we're having an informative fundraiser. You can call us at 804-464-1089 if you want to call in to talk or make a pledge. Or you can go online to theworkfm.org or on Facebook.
Alright.
Yeah.
Now, anyway, so Roger here was saying I was in the car listening to the Work FM, which I can do now because I work right near here. I get little breaks, and on the way I can drive from where I am, the West End, I pick it up. So you could pick it up if you're in the 30-mile radius. But anyway, it was a show. I don't know the guy's name. Never met him. But he was just a real scientist who went to Congress, talked about climate change in 98. They didn't buy into it. They didn't believe him. And then he went to a protest in West Virginia, and they had Kathy Mateo was on it from West Virginia, the country singer, and explaining it. And he went there, and he and what is that act? Daryl Hannah, the actress, were arrested.
Wow.
Arrested. I've heard of that.
Yeah. So I was like, where would you hear that other than the Work FM? Yes. So.
Yeah.
The news you don't hear other places. Absolutely.
It says something about our culture that the truth and facts are not wanted. They interfere with commerce. And that says a lot about what we're doing. You know, you'd think when the world is, quote, on fire, that people would say, gee, let's look into that. Another example, Lee, I don't want to keep this mic for long. Cut me off at a minute. That there are so many issues now that when they come up, instead of politicians saying, wow, humans have a problem, let's solve the problem, they say, wow, political hay, let's make some hay out of this. Abortion is a good example. Abortion was nobody's radar whatsoever, you know, until this fellow discovered that it would get people galvanized to get them to vote. Right? You know abortion is not really an issue because the people who fight to not allow abortion do nothing for kids after they're born. Nothing for the kids after they're born. You know it's all the scam. That's an example. Another example is all the stuff about kids and the sexuality. If you can look at the stuff they put into plastics now. One of the key components in plastics now, the ones that makes them soft, the name will come to me in a minute, actually also looks to our bodies like a hormone. And if a woman ingests this plastic softener when she's gestating, the child that she's going to have will actually, to some degree, be more androgynous. They will lose their distinct sexuality. And this is measured, I don't want to sound, well, it may sound a little bit gross, but if you measure between the anus and the sex organ, that distance shortens as this person becomes more androgynous. And that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing sexuality seems to be being lost. There's something odd about it because our chemistry is off. And instead of politicians saying, let's solve the problem, they're saying, oh, good, let's bash somebody. Let's get people to the polls. Let's make a big hubbub. Let's light somebody's hair on fire and pretend we're solving. Look busy.
Yep.
Look right. Busy. Good. Anyway, that was my 1 minute. Your minute.
Right. Well, a lot of our environmental shows feature...
Is it working out? Oh, my God.
...detailed talk about... plastics and their impact on the human body and health and things that we're studying right now. And we're not talking about sort of the conspiracy stuff. It's we're an facts-only established science station, so we're not going to spin the weird stuff out there, but things that you can count on that are credible and reliable. And
yep, that's right.
And I wanted to add in... kind of my point on what Ron was talking about, because I work with youth and the conversation around gender and sexuality is very interesting. A lot of the kids, well, a lot of the children see it as more of a trend or a fad rather than, you know, this is something that I'm born as and this is more so how I'm internally feeling. Now, you do have some students who you can clearly see they may be having some struggles with their identity or... You know, they may be asking certain questions, but most of my students, they're just saying words that they see online. Mm-hmm. And also because TikTok and every other social platform has a great way of kind of glorifying misinformation. And not only that, kind of just glorifying the taboo things now. The children just see it as a trend. So I think that in combination to what Ron was talking about with, you know, the food that we're congesting and the environmental factors that come into play with these things. Now, with that being said, also, you know, this conversation around sexuality and gender is not new. I mean, these things have always been around.
Yeah. Yep.
But I think that the way the conversations are going and how much it is put into children's faces, I think that is what's the most interesting part about that. You know, and how forced it kind of is. Now, I saw this YouTube video where a student at school asked their teacher to refer to them as a woman's name, and he was born male. And one of the teachers just completely just denied that and was just like, no, I'm going to call you the name that I see on the paper. Then you had another teacher who was accepting to it, but the teacher that accepted that got a lot of backlash from the parent. And the parent, you know, was having this conversation like, how dare you kind of like play around with this ideal with my child and kind of like, you know, perpetuating this idea. I don't know. It's just such a balance to me because I do work with so many students where I want to be knowledgeable and sensitive to what's going on, but also not getting so caught up in the trap that I'm forgetting my own kind of ideals about it. So, yeah, that's my two cents about it.
Uh-huh.
Well, anything related to the body and sexuality has been fraught with taboo. This seems to be a traditional characteristic about from almost all religions except maybe paganism, that, you know, somehow the body has to be tabooed, or there has to be shame associated with it, or original sin, or and so that bleeds into all kinds of stuff.
Oh yeah.
And that doesn't do anybody any good.
No, no.
Yep, that's
yep
true.
Yep, and no, and we're it's just incredible to me here as an observer of 50 years now. 51, sorry, next week.
All right.
Happy birthday, Roger.
I feel like just so what's the word, Ron? Pointed to the left and right. We're so
linear.
Ron's the wordsmith here.
Divided.
We'll go with that. We're so divided that you say one thing and they think you are on the other, completely other side, whether you're not. I mean, personally, I have beliefs that it's give and take. There's
yes
too much of this on one side, there's too much of that on the other side, and it's all mixed up.
Two things can exist at
right,
the same
right
time.
Yeah.
Two.
We can have our own beliefs.
Yeah.
Personally, I can believe whatever, that maybe it's an unnatural condition to want to go that way, and that it's being fed on by the media. But someone else can believe it's perfectly natural, and everyone has the right to switch their identity. But
you know,
that doesn't mean we have to argue and go, you're the worst, no, you're red, no, you're blue.
Well,
so
it's
bad,
similar
you know
to abortion that way, and
right
that you have, for example, certain politicians who say, well, my personal beliefs are I oppose it, I would rather limit it, but I can't just think about myself. I can't
right
form the country around my own narrow doctrine, so I have to vote in a way that's going to empower all Americans
right
and not isolate anyone.
Mm-hmm. I mean, here's one other point that people make all the time in the shadows, or they used to make. Why would someone choose to have these different sexual and gender feelings? You know, they're not making it up.
Yeah.
They're not. Who would choose that?
Well,
I'm not
especially
saying
if
it's
you
a
get
good
persecuted
or bad thing, but you're born with this feeling that you feel different. Who would make that up and go to in a bathroom to trick people and attack them, harass or rape them? Who the blank would do that? Logically, I don't know anyone that would go that far to do that.
Well, and sometimes the extreme fears that people bring up tell you more about them than
right
what's actually happening in the world. So we got to keep that in mind.
I think a lot of these things speak to the person's own beliefs and character, and maybe they would be really, very dangerous if they were wearing a dress instead of pants. Maybe they have bad ideas. I don't think that you can blame every Joe Schmo about after doing it, but I understand their fear, and I think, to me, it's so much noise, because if you want to go to a bathroom that doesn't have any other stalls in it, go to that bathroom. You know, go to the handicap bathroom, for example, you know, and don't worry about going to the one where you're not sure you'll be welcome. I sort of see it both ways. I say that if they wanted to solve the problem, they'd solve it. They just want to have a political football. If they really wanted to help the kids, they'd be helping kids. They want to help themselves. It's not about the kids. It's not about their morality. It's about these people making political points. And that's what's so pathetic, because when you hire people by electing them, you like to think they're going to work on your problems instead of just throwing political footballs back and forth to try to gain some, like the governor's doing, you know. He took this
governor
totally bogus issue and made it into an issue as if it were an issue. I mean, the idea that you can't talk about the fact that we have for 250 years been a very, 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 very unfair nation, you know. We had the Declaration of Independence was really incredible. It was what you call aspirational, kind of like I won the election.
Yeah.
Aspirational, that's a popular word these days. I won the election. You just saw that, right?
Yeah.
Everybody knew I won the election. No, it's an aspirational thing. They talked about things they would like to happen. They haven't got there yet, and I don't know if we ever will. But as long as we agree that there is a there
mm-hmm
to look towards, we
yeah
may make some progress. Anyway.
Yeah.
I just, that's my two cents.
No, if I could throw in 1 cent or two or three, it's like I was listening to, the Work FM, one of the shows, and they had a guy, Kermit Roosevelt III or IV, and he is the great grandson of
Teddy.
Franklin or Teddy.
Teddy Roosevelt,
yep. And he's writing books, and his point, his latest book was saying that the Declaration of Independence was not actually the foundation of the modern American political system, that it was a declaration of independence from Great Britain. So they did not, according to him, and it makes sense, we were a racist country then. We were white. You had to be a white man and wealthy and not landowning to have rights. And the far right is saying, let's go back to what the founders said in 1776, but the real change was in 1864, roughly, when they made the Emancipation Proclamation.
Right.
And that's something you don't hear again.
How do you all feel about critical race theory and the idea of them wanting to teach that in schools and in colleges?
I think that I have concerns about using the phrase because that refers specifically to college-level instruction in law schools. And in any case, what people are worried about being taught is just plain history. It's not theory. We're not talking. It's not a theory that people were owned and held as slaves. Yeah, that
no
they
theory
were
at all. No,
exactly.
That's not theory. And so when somebody says, "Oh, I'm all upset about critical race theory," they just have a little phrase that they can hang on to that keeps them from seeing, I don't like this part of history, so I don't want to talk about it.
And it's funny, they say, I don't want my kids feeling bad. Well, what about you? Do you feel
bad? Critical race theory. Let's
well, and feeling bad's not the point. I mean, they obviously do feel bad, but their kids don't.
It's a theory created by a college professor in a northeastern area, roughly, right? New York, maybe. And it was the theory is not that there was racism. The theory is the societally based institutional background racism in this country.
It's systematic.
Yes, it's a recognition of how it gets woven into systems, absolutely. So it doesn't have to be like conscious and overt.
And it's still there in many places. Ask the black farmers.
Ask
still
a lot
there.
Of people, immigrants, ask people of like LGBTQ people with disabilities.
Yeah, who are they keeping out of the border in Mexico?
Right. Well, I mean, it's interesting. So with the trials that are coming up for Trump, it's interesting that the poll workers that he went after were a couple of black women.
Yep.
I mean, you know, he didn't go after any of the white poll workers.
No.
And they could have, so that ginger mint that they were exchanging really was kind of harmless. And now he kind of looks like a clown.
Yeah.
Well, not just now, but sorry.
Yeah.
You're being moderate there.
Yes, tempering my rhetoric here. This is WRWK 93.9 FM, The Work FM, broadcasting from Midlothian and serving Chesterfield, Henrico, Richmond, Goochland, and Hanover. If you want to call in, 804-464-1089. Call in to talk, disagree, heckle, or most importantly, or better yet, donate.
That's
Speaking
right.
Speaking of heckling, can you check Facebook,
comments.
You might have comments.
Oh, really? How do you?
And Lee, hand me the list of donors. I can rattle off the.
That screen
thank you.
The video, the blue one, Ron called it.
Yeah, look on the right side there. Look for the comments.
Oh, we don't have any comments.
Oh, well, there's no trolls. Wow. Well, good. They must be busy tonight.
Where are they? Wow.
Well, anyway, yes.
But we could have constructive comments.
Absolutely.
We have friends listening, tuning in from online.
Yeah, and that's, I was joking earlier about our 30-watt transmitter, so there's not a large circle where you can pick us up on the radio, but anyone with a phone or a computer can pick us up anywhere in the world by listening to our live stream.
Yep.
And where do you find the live stream?
You can find it at the Work FM and I don't know. Yeah, it's, and it's on Facebook as well, I think, at least the link. It might not be a live link, but you can copy it.
Is it on Alexa?
There's a link there.
Alexa, you said?
Yes, and we're available on Alexa. Ask for WRWK. It's not available yet at the Work FM because I didn't enter the information properly, so that's being revised. But I think you can get it on Alexa by just saying, Alexa, play WRWK.
Nice.
All right. I don't have Alexa, but I'm glad. I'm glad she's
nice
on our side.
Her to let us be on. Yeah.
Good for nice Alexa. AIR service.
One of the things when we were just talking about issues of race in American history, one of the features on Literature Aloud is we'll play the narrative of Frederick Douglass in its entirety, and it's an amazing work.
Yeah.
And if anybody's not sure, so we know that the United Daughters of the Confederacy kind of like toned down and all of the actual horrors of slavery and tried to tone up all of the nobility of the lost cause.
Yes.
All you need to do is read Frederick Douglass and you'll find out that that's nonsense. So when you hear about the Georgia textbook that talks about the slaves singing and how that made their labor lighter, Frederick Douglass will tell you about a slave owner who put a slave's head in a post hole and pounded the post in on top of it. And that's, you know, that's a little more accurate because it wasn't, it's just written from his narrative, his life experience. He's not trying to influence anybody by a romantic notion of a lost cause.
But like, are you serious? Singing made the light, the work lighter? Like, come on. Like,
well, I think that's what,
like, what?
I guess people felt for that in the 50s.
Well, I think that's the source
singing
of the blues.
Singing just gave us just like the power of ease. Like, what? That is crazy.
Well, it's like in Florida right now, aren't they trying to make teachers say, well, slaves learn skills that they could use.
That's right.
So, well, it's like, okay, come on, you be my slave for a year and I'll teach you,
like,
some skills and you can report afterward.
Like, be for real.
Very desperate attempt. And I'm not sure young people are going to fall for that
at all.
You know, in the 20s and 30s, Gone with the Wind,
right
making slavery look fun. Or, you know, post-slave servitude, like fun. Oh, the
making Jim Crow look fun.
Right. I forget what's the woman. She won the the best actress, supporting actress.
Oh, Vivian Leigh, was it?
No, the black woman.
Oh, Mammy. What was her name?
Okay, we sounding unwoke here.
She
right
wasn't
now.
Allowed.
She wasn't allowed at the Academy Awards.
For she was in that movie with the airplanes.
No,
Gone with the Wind. She was the best supporting actress.
Can't think of her name.
It's on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, she's playing. That's
Hattie McDaniel.
Yes, Hattie.
Yep.
Her only roles she could get were playing servants. Using pidgin English and slang, yes'm, yes massa, yes ma'am, playing the
stereotypes,
just like up until about 1955 when Sidney Poitier came in and turned it around for America on the screen. But that was all there was. There was blacks were playing, you know, porters and butlers. And
Raisin in the Sun. He was an English teacher, right? Is that right, Raisin in the Sun?
That's one of his.
In Europe, there was a lot of more normalcy. It was just in the U.S. where we had this retarded thing going. And I'm not sure how it was reinforced, except that probably you could eliminate 30% of the population, there's less competition. It's same thing with women.
Yeah.
You can eliminate half the population, there's less competition.
Yeah.
Right, very much about trying to control everything. And control is ultimately a fantasy. There's some point at which you're never going to have control.
Yep.
And we have to surf and manage the chaos, and that's about the best that we're going to do.
Yep.
The more rigidly we try to construct things, the more likely they are to break. This is a natural fact. The pine tree is going to bend in a storm. The oak tree is going to snap and land on your roof.
Yeah. Yep. Brittle, yeah. Well, you know, I see it's time to wrap. I just want to throw in a comment about our... We have a serious bias at the Work FM. And the bias is towards life, because life is about life. And if in your 90 years you haven't figured out what you're about, good time to do it. And then do things that are useful to life. And I don't mean an easy life thing, pretending abortion has something to do with morality. I mean being good to life, encouraging life. And if you find people that want to trash life to make a little more money, be suspicious that maybe their motives aren't the best.
Suspicious. That's a TikTok. That's a TikTok. Suspicious.
Right. Another thing about TikTok, I tell you, TikTok is an amazing thing. TikTok is not allowed in China. You're allowed 1.5 hours a day.
It is very restricted.
And in between the crap that we get to watch constantly, they have all kinds of mind-improving facts about their culture, science, social events.
Right.
And in the U.S., they make sure that we have the dumbest version, the most infantilizing version, and don't get in the way. Let people become as stupid as they can possibly be, to the point that they're blowing shofar horns at school board meetings and pretending that they're having a religious experience.
I mean, people are so... I just wanted to bring this... Is it too late to bring this up real quick?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Did you all know about the shootings that were happening down Nine Mile Road this last week?
No.
So this lady got shot due to road rage. She cut off a guy in a truck, and he got so upset that he pulled next to her, pulled his weapon out, and shot at her.
Wow.
And sent her to the hospital, and she was injured. And even down,
they did wind up catching him.
And then there was another, like, homicide happening on Nine Mile Road. And I brought that up to say, because you were talking about how we have a bias of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's just... It's so important to put yourself in an environment and around a community that also values life,
right,
and understands that we are human beings, and the only thing that we are designed to do and to be is be, and just live in a place of understanding and trying to be on one accord with one another. And another reason why I brought those things up is just because, I mean, we are far removed from reality, and we are so far removed from the human connection of it all, that we literally, like, just the fact that somebody is like, I am so angry from this road rage incident that I'm willing to almost take somebody's life. Like, if we are not sitting there, you know, sitting down, thinking about these things and analyzing how just distraught this stuff is. And it's just like, it's kind of sick.
Well, and that incident is a brilliant one to bring up, because it brings together so many things that we're dealing with. We have an excess and a lack of control of guns. We have crazy heat waves that are unprecedented, that will push anyone to the edge. We have an obsession with cars and vehicles. And I love driving as much as the next guy, but look, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
Right.
And these things all come together. And another thing I think is part of that is... And this might be influenced by religion or not, but we're brought up on apocalyptic narratives where we assume that things are getting worse and worse, and that the world's going to hell. And, you know, I'd still much rather be alive today than in the 12th century. I have a feeling that there are probably a few less murders, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe the wars are more destructive, but, you know, it's just things have improved some.
In relative terms,
a lot more to go there.
Yes.
There's a lot of documentation.
What you're saying, that, everyone, who doesn't get mad when driving around when someone cuts you off? But yeah, to go shoot someone over that?
To go to the point of that,
because you're like, me first. I have to be first on the race to work.
Right.
The race to get somewhere.
Or even it's just like, how dare this person?
It's
like going back to the control sense of like,
right,
I need to do something about this, because how dare this person do this to me?
Yeah.
And it's like you said, it's a selfish, like, why me?
Right.
And that's why we are in the state that we're in as a society, because everyone is just only thinking about themselves or the people that are in their group, in their clique, and, you know, some people are just left out, and it's just a sad thing. I'm just like, why go that far?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We got to start thinking about the group and less about the individual, and I can hear somebody right now going, he's a communist! Ah! Well, that's just called programming, and maybe back off and stop salivating, and, you know, we'll back and reprogram you to think differently without coming to the end of the world.
Yes.
Yeah,
life is not a personality contest.
Capitalism is not about being selfish and being only concerned with yourself, ideally. It's right, Ron.
Well, I would say that
the way Adam Smith wrote about it, it was, but that's not the way it's practiced today, right?
Yeah, but coming
in fact, capitalism is a really lousy moral system or ethical system.
Call?
Yeah, so turn your mic down, Lee, and answer the phone after you push the lower button.
Yeah. And beware.
Yes, it's. The phone's just it's a little less than
friends on again.
I've never liked this phone.
Obvious.
Now how do I make that stop?
No, push the top. Oh, you want to? Oh, you want to hang it up?
They hung up.
Oh, they hung up. Oh, bummer.
Okay, that could have been a serious caller, or it could have been a joke.
You push the lower button, and then push the hold the drop button on the left side.
Push the bottom one.
And then there's a drop button.
Okay.
So folks, stop by for a full course on how to run the station. You can join us. We're not withholding anything here. We'd like to share as much as possible. In fact, we'd like to make sure that you understand that
the real person
there is actually a lot to be said for. And so.
Hey, Max.
Oh, it's Max. It's a real caller.
Okay. You push that top red button, and what's push the white slider up. Yeah, Roger, show you. Now, you got to push the top button, Roger, twice, Lee. No, Lee, you got to hit the top button twice. Can I hear you? Go ahead.
Max on?
Max?
Oh, push program number one.
Over here?
Yeah. We lost them. Turn it back down, Roger. No, turn it down. Don't leave the button pushed. Yeah. They gave up.
Yeah, we heard it.
I should have done that for you, Lee. That is a little confusing. Yeah. But it's not that bad, but you're used to it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you can say
that
about.
I have not gotten used to that phone
system. All right, well, we're still figuring out how to work that phone system here. But when... As I head out, you guys just keep talking. You got some good conversation going. Why don't you come do the phone,
okay,
Ron? Ron's going to answer the phone successfully, Max can come share some of his wisdom. This guy, Max, is founder of this station and WRIR, Omni Technical. This is WRWK 93.9 FM, Richmond, Virginia, 804-464-1089.
Oh. All right.
Okay.
I'll keep the seat warm.
Yeah. Max, hang on. Don't hang up.
Hello? WRWK? Hey, Max.
He's heading out.
Hang on a second. We'll put you on. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Can you hear me?
Hey, this is Max.
Hey, Max is on.
Calling from the road to let you all know I'm going to be representing WRWK to a bunch of folks at Burning Man and letting them know that there's a filing window coming up. To build their own community radio, and I'll be holding up WRWK as an example of a different way they can do community radio.
Yeah.
Not the only way, but certainly a good way for folks who might have less ostentatious circumstances than others.
Mm-hmm.
Cost-effective way. I know I built WRIR with others for $15,000, and then we built WRWK for just $7,000.
Yeah.
So, I'm looking forward to holding up the famous women's quotes as a great example. People can tune in from all over the world on the internet stream from Burning Man. A lot of people will have internet access.
Yes. Are you there now?
No, I'm on the way there.
Yeah.
I had a lot of equipment breakdowns,
both
my body and the car. So, it's just been a very challenging summer.
Yep. Where are you now, roughly?
Middle of Nevada.
Okay, you're almost there.
Nice. Almost there.
Almost there. Is it hot out there? degrees.
Where is it not hot?
I don't know.
Really.
It's in the 90s here.
In the shade, huh?
The humidity is probably 110 today here, right?
Yes, it was very...
110% humidity?
Probably.
Yes. It's been a spell. Well, I'm hoping that it'll wake some people up. But I believe in D.C., people are still those big checks keep them cool, and they don't find relevance for the climate. I really wish we could take their checks away so they didn't have that blanket to insulate them from reality. I wish we could do more good comedy skits. Yeah,
what's that? Oh.
That it's funny how that thin piece of paper insulates people from reality.
Which thin piece of paper is
this? The check, Roger.
For who?
What check?
For politicians. When they get a check, it insulates them from reality.
We're doing Ronization here. I'm explaining Ron to the world.
I'll never make it as a comedian at this rate, my God.
No.
The point is, as you've read many times, it's hard to get someone to believe something when it'll kill their paycheck, you know?
Right, yes.
Yes, I believe Smith, or was it Smith, wrote that about 100 years ago?
Adam Smith, yeah.
No, not Adam Smith, a different Smith.
John Smith.
blanking on his name right now. He wrote a book about the butchering process. He had a whole book on that. That was his analogy for capitalism.
What was his name? We just read his book online the other day about the Chicago meatpacking plants.
That was very funny.
And he was right. He was a very pragmatic fellow. And you look at all the checks going in. You know, in fact, if I look at the decline of U.S. democracy, I have to go back to the point where the one-time Supreme Court said money is
king.
Why I don't think we should call it a democracy anymore, because it's not.
No, it's whatever you can buy. And honestly, even the people with money, like Musk and what's his face over at Facebook, don't seem to have a clue what the world is about.
They have a clue. They're just not telling you.
they're spinning the world. But you know, it's funny when the Facebook whistleblower came on, Frances Haugen, she went to Congress and she got a lot of interest. But the next day, people had all lost interest in her.
Right.
They'd all lost interest because I'm guessing that maybe something happened in between, and maybe it was because Frances Haugen's ideas were suddenly trumped by probably something to do with money, no pun intended. I mean,
she got Zuckerberg out of it. What's that? Oh.
You didn't lose interest. You're talking about it right now.
Some people lost it. Yeah, some people didn't lose interest. Well, we're self-funded, but we can do what we want to do.
Well, that's the whole point of community radio, is that we get to have different interests than the other folks did.
You know, I would love to see NPR if the actual people who do the reporting ran the station. Take out the editors who think they have to make a lot of money by catering to the people who have checks.
Right.
They lay off the editors.
Yeah, I'd love to
see.
They're
gone.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's interesting to me because, of course, we all remember that famous conversation with Sidner, Max, that you had that it started you on the road. What did you tell that story, Max? That kind of sums up how we got to where we are. At that point, we really realized we were sold out.
Well, there was this great show called Talk of the Nation that was covering the Gulf War, and it really kind of salvaged my brain while I'm driving taxi cab because there was absolutely nothing worth listening to on commercial media.
Sorry, can we interrupt really quick?
Carrying Talk of the Nation after the war was over, quote unquote over, and according to the official word. And I went to them and I said, hey, I want you guys to put Talk of the Nation back on. They said, well, we would, except that we can't display classical music. And I said, well, that's no problem. There's extra frequencies. Just build a second transmitter. And I'll make a long story short. Steve Clark was talking to me. He said, if you know so damn much about radio, he's saying this so loud, he's actually getting spit on my glasses. Not intentionally, I'm sure, but he was very very energetically defending the classical music only bias. And he said, well, if you know so damn much about radio, why don't you start your own? And I had $361 bills fanned out for dramatic effect because I was going to donate $360 to be able to announce Welcome Back Talk of the Nation.
And
I flipped the dollar bills shut, stuck them in my shirt pocket, and I said, that's a great idea, and I walked out. And that's when I started building community radio.
Well, I was thinking of another story.
I love that.
No, it wasn't Sidner.
No, I was thinking of the Sidner story. Sidner. Anyway, Mia says she has to go. So let me have a... Mia, would you like to have a last word, and then you can fly the coop?
One is... And that was Max, right?
That's Max. Yep.
So first of all...
Yeah, this is Max.
Hi, Max. This is Mia. First of all, that story, I loved hearing that story. It really warmed my heart. Just how that guy was like the catalyst for you to be like, you know what? That is a good idea. Why not? Like, why not do my own thing? And I think that is just like...
I like to say it was their idea, because it was.
It was.
He told you have to do it. Yeah.
Yes, but
yep, I, so I did.
And I just want to say to the listeners, make sure you all donate and tune into Work FM. Make sure you all are plugging into people like Max, who are out here, you know, doing community radio, trying to generate good conversation with good community people in Work FM. So thank you all so much, and I will see you all later. Bye.
Thank you, Mia. Mia will be back in many other forms. She has a lot of ideas of her own. She works with kids, and kids are the base, the original truth tellers are kids. And she's going to bring some of the stories from the kids, because they can tell us, hey, adults, this is what you're doing to the world you live in me, and here's how I feel about it. And maybe you can tighten up a little bit and be a little more gracious about what you're going to give me. Anyway, thank you, Mia, for coming out. And, gee, Roger, I don't know how long do you want to keep this going. You want to shoot for 7:30? Is that going too far?
We still have Max on here, right?
That's right. We still got Max on.
So far, so good, yeah.
So, Max, are you driving?
He is driving.
I am driving. The signal may drop at any moment because I'm in the middle of nowhere in Nevada, so I might just disappear.
Yeah,
but then again,
we won't take it personal.
Like that. I mean, one of the reasons that I could build community radio is that I didn't have children, so I had spare energy.
Yeah,
right.
That's true.
However, now I have cancer. Which eats up a lot of energy. On the other hand, it also has freed me from the worry of retirement. I no longer worry about retirement.
That's right.
So that's sort of get out of jail for free card too. I was just listening to the radio, and sure enough, the old canard came up. But if you want to retire and anything close to what you used to, you got to save $1 million. I'm like, who the hell has $1 million to save?
That's right.
Right.
You know, it's like this guilt machine. Like, you should be sacrificing yourself, your morals and your ethics even more, just so you don't die in Nurse Ratched's home for the damned and abandoned.
Yeah,
you know, what a cheerful idea. Yeah,
very cheerful.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
They have those commercials.
The guilt machine is cranking it up.
Got those commercials for life insurance. You know, they say.
Oh yeah.
You've got it. For $10 a day. You can. Have a future, and that doesn't make... It's compounded interest, apparently, but then you turn 85 and you lose all of it anyway, right?
And there's a lot of fine print, I'm sure, on those forms as well. Yeah, I don't know. Term insurance? I don't know. But the big thing is don't actually worry about having a life now. Don't think about what you're going to leave behind. Just idle along as if you're living in Disneyland, and we'll take care of all the rest. Be an infant. Relax into infanthood, because real participation in democracy is only for, wealthy landowners. White men, chiefly. I'm sorry, that
Pretty
was
much.
Supposed to be sarcastic.
That was very sarcastic.
Perhaps so.
The sarcasm meters are just flying up here.
No, actually, it's not sarcasm. No, if you look at the structure of the Constitution, it is that slavery is encoded into the Constitution unlike any other government.
Yes.
So when somebody says, every culture in history had slaves, I'm like, that's true for a lot of cultures. They didn't encode it
We
did with the Constitution.
Nope.
Because, for example, Montana gets 2 senators, and so does California.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then in the U.S. House of Reprehensibles, they get to count prisoners for additional house seats, but the prisoners don't get to vote.
Don't get to vote.
What does that sound like?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the 3/5 compromise.
Yeah,
that we still live under. Yeah, that is
amazing.
And then
you look at the Electoral College. You got all these people that are cranking up the fear machine on Cornel West. You know, he's just the latest one. You know, it was Ralph Nader. It was this person. It was that person. Whoever. It doesn't even matter. Mm-hmm. That soon as some third party says, I want to run against the corporate Democrats, all of a sudden they're like, he's a spoiler. It's just going to cause somebody so-and-so to get horrible monster to get elected. And then they say, look, you know, that was Ralph Nader got Trump elected or whatever. And I'm like, no, he didn't. Hillary won more votes. It was the Electoral College that got Trump elected.
Yes.
It was not a third-party candidate.
No.
And so, you know, we've got a structure that encodes extra voting power to the plantations.
Yep.
Now they're called corporations, but back then they were plantations. And that's why we keep ending up in the same battle over and over again. And that's why I say we shouldn't call it a democracy. We should call it something else, because anything that encodes slavery at that level is not a democracy. And well, I know the conservatives love to say, oh, it's a republic. It's not a democracy. You know, right. They say it with a tone of voice like it's a good thing. Yeah. And I'm like, you're right. You're right. How amazing that you're happy to hand your power over to corporations.
Yeah.
Why is that? Yeah. And when I put it that way, they kind of look at me kind of funny like, wait, you're agreeing that I'm saying that it's not a democracy, that it's a republic, but then you're telling me that I've handed my power over to corporations. Like, yeah, that's right. And one thing that both conservatives and liberals agree on pretty well across the political spectrum is that corporations have too much power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Democrats aren't going to say that because that's where they get their donations.
Yeah.
So that leaves it up to us.
Yep.
That leaves it up to us to say it. You know, we got to be the fool telling the king, hey, these little tiny rural towns that have like a like 20 residents, the corporation basically votes their votes because the corporation says, hey, if you want to keep your job, you're going to vote for policies that favor the corporation you work for.
Mm-hmm.
So the corporations are already voting by proxy because the rural areas are so depopulated that there's so few people left that they want to keep the jobs they've got by the few corporations that haven't gone to China already.
Hmm.
Or wherever the new darling is, since China seems to be collapsing.
Oh, Vietnam.
Of its own accord.
Yeah. Myanmar.
Yeah.
Whatever slavery is free.
Problems. I don't think we need to worry about them taking over the world. They can barely handle themselves. Basically, the corporations are ruling the entire planet. And if you think about it, the United States was actually formed in rebellion against one of the very first truly transnational corporations, the East India Trading Company,
had
pressured the British government into policies that the colonists hated. The British weren't originally going to have such terrible policies. The East India Company was pressuring them into it.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you think about it, we've been actually fighting artificial intelligence in the form of a decision-making device outside of human minds, the corporation, since the 1760s.
The profit motive is the same thing. It puts something in place of human values.
Right.
Right. But I'm speaking to the structure as opposed to the concept. The concept of the profit margin doesn't work unless there's an actual structure to enable it. The East India Company was the structure that enabled that profit motive concept to actually become a decision-making device.
Mm-hmm.
And so the colonists basically rebelled against it, ironically, by creating a structure that re-empowered company towns, the corporations, again, with the Electoral College, the Senate, and the Three-Fifths Compromise.
Yeah, one could say roughly, you know, they fought against control by another entity, but they weren't for freedom for everyone. They were freedom from taxation without representation and freedom from another country's government. This was in the show I mentioned before today, whichever one it was on our station. It was saying that you know, they didn't revolt from, you know, capitalism and tyranny. They were revolting to be the ones to say, to have the say
we
in
wanted,
their
we
taxation.
Wanted to be the, we wanted the money,
Well, I believe that's why Thomas Jefferson had half of his tongue in his cheek when he said that the tree of liberty should be watered every 20 years with revolution. I don't think he literally meant that. I think he was exaggerating to make his point, because that would be a mighty short-lived government.
Yeah.
But I think he was kind of, you know, nudge, wink, wink. Hey, this Constitution is the best we can manage at this time, but y'all got to get rid of this diaper because we're wiping up you-know-what with it.
Yeah.
And it's the best we could do, so you guys got to do better. And we didn't. We fell into a Confucius-style ancestor worship where we think the Constitution is the best thing in the world. I'm like, it was the best they could come up with at the time, and it was cutting edge. It was.
Yeah.
And guess what? A whole lot of countries have learned a whole bunch of lessons. And there are much better parliamentary systems now that have much better multi-party representation than we've got now.
Yeah,
true. Would you all say these countries in Europe, around the world, democracies,
mostly Europe.
Parliament-based countries, Israel still has it, of course, a lot of places, and where it works, people say, oh, that's not a secure system because anytime someone disagrees, they have to form a new government. Isn't that what democracy is about?
Unstable,
It's unstable, but it can be controlled, have a parliamentary system here. Oh, no, that's communism, that's socialism. They throw this stuff at you.
Yeah, they throw the word communism of anything they don't like.
Yeah.
But
they don't actually know what it means.
How would that change our country, as radical as this sounds, if we went to a truly parliamentary, modern parliamentary system?
I think we'd become like Europe. I think we'd become like Europe because, frankly, most of the people that are making decisions are either from Europe or they have family from Europe.
Right.
I think we would just become like we'd become a lot more like Europe, which I think would be great because they're doing a much better job for their middle class than we are. They're doing a much better job at education and the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Health care, medical care.
Yeah, all of those things.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's true.
I mean, how do you make that change?
I think it's because they have a multi-party representation.
Right.
There's not just two parties.
Right. So
I think
if the coalition of parties can't agree on something, we sit around and go, let's wait another 4 years or let's wait till the next election. We'll get them then.
Yeah.
And we'll switch
and
it
we
all up
do.
And we don't. And they're sitting there going, we can't agree. Okay, let's have a new election. Let's get a new president, a new prime minister. Who makes more sense what makes more sense if we just let go of this hegemony and, as you called it, ancestor worship? And said, we can change this. We can make changes to do better. Yep. And these are all Ronisms. When I started here, say, 6 or 7 months ago, I didn't know how to talk on the radio. I was cowering around and going, Ron, you say something. What do I say? And here we go. You know, that's part of this station and this movement, free speech. Yep. Getting a voice, learning to use your voice, you know, somewhat professionally, somewhat just modern, humanly, we'll say, being useful.
Yeah.
I would avoid the word professional because that falls into the trap of, I got to be like the commercial radio station to be taken seriously.
Correct.
No, like, this isn't commercial radio.
No.
There's only one thing you got to do, and that's be understandable.
Right. Yeah. That's a better way of putting
it. If they could tell what you're saying, then it's good enough.
Right.
So the only thing I tell people is there's no such thing as a right voice for radio as long as we can tell what you're saying.
Right.
So the only real thing you got to make sure is you got to enunciate, don't speak too fast, and, you know, try to not have such a strong accent that people can't tell what you're saying. That's it.
Yep.
Everything else is fine.
Yeah.
High-pitched voice, low-pitched voice.
Yep. Deep voice.
As long as it doesn't sound like you got marbles in your mouth, you're good.
Right. Yeah. You were on the right track with that. I guess I meant more experienced at the radio, which Ron taught me.
I think I might just say practice.
Yeah, we should probably, in fact, one of the things we wanted to do on Friday nights was practice stuff. Like, we have some new equipment to bring in. We reboot the server. We do a lot of things on Friday nights, ideally. In fact, Max helped us build that door. It keeps so much of the noise out of here. That was a huge thing.
We got a new microphone.
Oh, yes.
It works. But the other one we had was for phantom power only, so that the other one, that's why it doesn't work here.
Yeah, this
we
board.
Figured it out.
Yep.
We figured it out. We don't have phantom power.
On
we
this
don't
new board.
Have
oh,
it
don't.
On our old new
oh,
board.
Well, one of those mixed boards used to, but
the blue
now.
One.
Well, we got.
Well, that would
do it. Greg gave us a nice new one, but it doesn't have that. And maybe I'm just looking for the switch somewhere, but we haven't found
it. It's not there. When this board, was created, they didn't have phantom power.
Oh, they didn't. See.
I'm guessing that. It looks like it's from maybe the 70s or early 80s.
Jeez, I don't know. Huh. I never gave it a thought.
They had Phantom of the Opera power.
I'm pretty sure there's been phantom power for at least the last 50, 60 years.
Okay, I could be correct.
Well, then
incorrect.
In that case, we could probably give it
doesn't
some
matter.
Power.
If that one doesn't have it, it doesn't have it.
Right,
that's all that matters.
Yeah. For some reason, it doesn't.
We're
so.
Trying using a second board for our musical shows anyway, because it gives us more flexibility. Because we only have four channels on the, six channels, but two of them are already tied up. We only have four channels free
on the board, and that's not enough if you have a couple of people. We've had seven people in here before on a comedy show.
Yeah, we did.
That's true. Yeah.
And you need all the mics you can get at that point in time. Well, do you want to shoot for another half hour, or should we wrap it up at 7:30?
I'm good to keep going. Now I'm on a roll here. I don't know about Max, what he has to say. And from
I feel like this would be a great time to bring up something that should be the number one news item on every news and isn't. Mm. The only place I'm seeing it is scientific journals. And that's this. The tropical parts of the oceans have lost 40% of their oxygen production in the last 50 years. 40% in just 50 years. That is a steep curve into mass extinction. And when I say mass extinction, I mean any critter that breathes oxygen.
I think
and
I'm one of them.
Humans are high on that list because we've got this relatively large brain compared to other critters that eats a lot of oxygen. And when the oxygen level drops much, that's it for humanity. So, you know, I would think that maybe somebody in Montana doesn't care about sea level rise. They don't care about a hot planet because it doesn't feel hot where they are. And I'm like, I bet you like to breathe oxygen. And almost nobody's talking about it, only scientific journals.
Yeah.
And really, everybody should be talking about this because this is literally our species' final exam. We are taking the exam right now.
Yeah.
The pencils aren't down yet. We're still in the middle of the exam, but it's ongoing. And of all the many ways that we can cause mass extinction, oxygen deprivation has been proven in the geological record to be the fastest, most sure way to wipe out 90% of the planet's species. That's what happened during the Permian mass extinction. There was a sudden increase in carbon dioxide that rains out of the air as carbonic acid. The carbonic acid decreases the alkalinity of the ocean, which is to say acidifies it, right? So they call it ocean acidification. And that causes the calcium shells of the phytoplankton to stop, they're not able to make their, you know, if they can't make their shells, they're not alive, they're not making oxygen.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what happened during the Permian mass extinction, and we're repeating that pattern right now.
Almost intentionally.
And the sad thing is there's a way out of it. There's carbon sequestration. Right. Now, of course, people will say, well, that costs a lot of money, nobody's going to pay for. I'm like, no problem. I got a solution for you.
That's right.
I didn't invent it. I'm just bringing it to you. There's a University ETH in Zurich. They've created a catalyst that uses a common polishing compound called cerium oxide. You heat it up to 1,500 degrees. It takes carbon dioxide and water out of the air and makes long carbon chains, the easiest of which is to make either methanol or kerosene. The great thing about kerosene is it's a very stable chemical, and it's the basis of diesel and jet fuel. And we've got millions of combustion engines all over the planet that, I'm sorry, there's no way we're going to build enough lithium batteries and enough grid to replace the millions of combustion engines all over the planet.
Right.
Yeah. But if we could feed those combustion engines with solar-derived fuel that sequesters the carbon out of the air, then we close the carbon loop, we stop getting oil out of the ground, we stop acidifying the ocean any further than we already are, and we can start reversing the problem. Mm,
right.
Once we eventually finally do get the, eventually we will electrify battery electric transportation. At that point, those same plants that we sink all the money into making for diesel and jet fuel, we just make them make a different carbon chain. We have them make solids instead of a liquid, and then the solid can become roadways and buildings or whatever solid objects you want. And the great thing about that is now we're sequestering the carbon permanently out of the air. And that's when we really start reducing our destruction of the planet. But the great thing about this plan is the thing pays for itself because you sell the diesel and jet fuel. And then you've got this built infrastructure of carbon sequestration devices that is already paid for. Now you just make solids out of it, which are also a saleable product. And that's why I'm just amazed that this isn't top of the news everywhere. Everywhere should be talking about, hey, we got to stop getting carbon out of the ground. We have a system that uses carbon. We're going to be stuck with it for the next several decades, probably. Realistically, our politics are just not where they need to be to replace everything with electric. We just don't have it. So rather than feel all nihilistic like, oh, we're screwed because we can't fix our politics, I'm like, well, then don't use politics. Let's build things that bypass it.
Yeah, politics is where hope goes to die.
Once on life. That's why I'm spending or maybe years. We'll see how that goes. Trying my best to build the solar synthetic fuel system.
Great.
Yes.
So that's my last big hero's journey before I go. And in the meantime, the FCC is opening up a rare filing window the first week of November. I really wish they hadn't picked the same week as elections, but oh well. That's what they picked. So I'm going to, at Burning Man, I'm going to try to talk to as many people as I can about applying to build their own community radio. And why? Because we need to talk about the things that are important, such as not destroying our ocean's ability to make oxygen.
Right.
Because the ocean makes 70% of this planet's oxygen comes from the phytoplankton in the ocean.
And it's commonly known, probably. Not commonly known.
Yeah.
And it should be. If it were in the news, it would be.
Yeah, it's filtered out by, as we've said, corporations who own the oil companies and own the drilling and own the power. And it's just, you know, Virginia
power. Well, the
power.
Thing is,
it's just,
they're gonna run out of oxygen, too.
Oh, yeah, they will. They're eating up all the oxygen with their dumb things they're saying, but, you know, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's a little more complicated than that. I think some of it is people are just overwhelmed by it.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it is corporations refusing to talk about it, but at the same time, I think it's also that corporations are, they're also going to be on the chopping block.
Right, right.
Yeah, they'll lose.
Oh, I don't fit there.
I mean, we're in layman's terms, the corporations own the politicians with their lobbyists that prevents these things from happening. And they scare these other people. They're the subjects, the people, into believing them instead of us or what we're talking about or what, in general, you're saying. They just scare people into these ideas, like the coal plant incident that was on today, that Daryl Hannah and this guy in 1998 were out protesting. And the disturbing part of that was the crowd. They were all yelling, "Don't close our plant! Don't close our plant! You're taking away our jobs! This is our culture and our livelihood!" Shouting back at peaceful people trying to help them.
It was suggested, wasn't it, also that those people might have been just stage, might have been actors. They said they were employees, but I got the impression from the announcement that maybe these were paid to be there. You remember when we had the...
Well, those are not mutually exclusive propositions. I think
right,
it's both.
It's both, yeah. Some people were paid, and they riled up the other people. Just the common people. Yes, West Virginia, maybe not the most... you know, whatever.
Education system.
Educated area and very impoverished and not politically aware.
Impoverished by coal and still true
right.
to it.
Right.
Well, remember, right back to the structure of the Constitution. The Constitution gives extra voting power to the small towns that are dominated by corporations.
Yep. There you go.
That's why we keep ending up in the same battle over and over again.
Right.
So I think any political plan that doesn't take the structure of the Constitution into account is just, you know, you're going to be frustrated over and over again. But at least if you can start from, oh, the Constitution is structured for this outcome, this is the hoe I need to row, you know, at least you're starting from a place with a known problem and not just beating yourself up because, oh, people won't vote for Democrats. Like, it's not quite that simple.
No, it is not. You're
right.
Not quite that simple. They do vote for Democrats. It's this electoral college thing, like you're saying.
Yeah, it's like Hillary won more votes. Whenever somebody says, oh, the spoilers gave it to Trump, I'm like, no, Hillary won more votes. That's a fact.
Yeah.
So that's why I've kind of switched my attention away from waiting on the Democrats to solve anything for us. I will vote for them because they're better than the insanity, but the structure's not going to let them fix anything.
Right, right.
We have to be the pressure. And Obama even said that. Obama even said explicitly that y'all got to keep the pressure on me.
Right.
Did it, yeah. FDR
said
that.
Yeah, he did. He said you got to keep pressure on me. I can't do it without the pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he recognized the power is us. And we can.
No, only if we grab it. If we don't, then it's not.
Right.
Yeah. But we got to do things that bypass the politics, or else the politics can just keep holding us hostage.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why things like community radio and solar synthetic fuel are so important, is that if we show them that we can fix the world without them, so they can either come with us or they can become irrelevant. And they know that if they become irrelevant, they don't get donations, they don't get votes, right? But if they think, oh, well, we're your only savior, so ha, where are you going to go now? Ha, see, that's when you get stuck.
Right. Hmm. Very true. Good. Yeah, it's just hard.
That's
how
why
do you
when
get
people say, oh, well, you know, we should just pressure NPR, we should just pressure CBS to tell these stories, I'm like, no, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
As long as they think that they can just string you along, then they will.
Yep.
But as soon as you start building another station, the minute that the local NPR station, WCBE, the minute they found out that we got the construction permit for WRIR, all of a sudden they tripled the amount of news they had.
Oh, wow.
Because until we got the construction permit from the FCC, they're like, we can keep stringing you along. You got nowhere else to go. And then the instant that it was in the public record that we got the permit to build it, then they knew they were going to become irrelevant.
So then they went 24-hour news on one part
of
it?
No, not right away. It takes a while to do that. First, they started with tripling the amount of news that they had on the existing one station.
Right. Right.
But the point here is that you can't just wait. You know, like people will spend 3 months organizing for a demonstration that they hope to get 30 seconds on the news bites.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, it'd be better if you built a whole station of your own.
Right.
Because then CBS, NBC, NPR, then they realize, oh, wait, they're just going to not even listen to us. We became irrelevant.
Right.
Uh-oh, now we really got to step it up. So mm-hmm. Same thing with solar synthetic fuel. People are like, you know, just wait on the corporations. If it's a great idea, they'll do it. I'm like, maybe not. Keeping oxygen-breathing life alive is too important to just hope that maybe some corporation will take it up. Just the same as a community radio. It's too important to tell the story to hope that maybe NPR will eventually tell the story.
Nope.
So that's why we're here.
Yep, yes, that's why we're here.
That's why we're here.
Yep.
And, you know, this loop thing, I didn't get it when I first got here. Why are they playing these things instead of having me and Ron on more live shows and creating more live content? We'd love to have that.
It takes time.
But once you listen to it, you're like, wow, I'm hearing these things I didn't think were on, you know, and out there. And you just go, well, I want to tune into this stuff and hear the real story. I'm not kidding. Just like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, I got a job at Chesterfield Town Center. So I started driving around from there and here to the station, and I picked it up, and I'm like, wow, this is some decent content. Because before I was saying to Ron, "What? Who cares about the loop? What's with the loop? Why are you so focused on the loop?" And I'm like, "Oh, because it has good content that you can't get many places. I mean, you can, but you have to search for it online. You have to go look up Pacifica. You have to subscribe to them. You probably have to pay something, I imagine." Get intrusive emails
every year.
Personally. Yeah. Like, if I wanted to get that, I'd have to pay a monthly fee of something.
It depends on which parts you want. Some of it's free and some of it's not.
Right,
so
but it's not easy to get. It's not like, oh, this is curated by a station.
Us? Yeah. Oh, not just curated by a station. We are actually curated by a professor.
Professor, yes. Professor.
Yeah, he's like the real thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. We have the real thing. And in fact, he brings a lot. There's so much good out there. You really can't do justice to the entire market of thinking people. What fascinates me is how people listen to absolute disnified, I mean, stupefied, McDonaldized ideas about life, you know, when the real thing is out there.
They don't know any better.
Yeah, they don't know any better.
It's too bad they don't know any
better. It's like eating
Big
Macs.
That's another issue, yeah. I've quit fast food.
That's part of the problem is that Steve Bannon realized and said it outright that the modern version of censorship, you can't censor the way we used to. Uh-huh. Used to be censorship, you got the government or like the local church or whatever would ban and then you couldn't hear it. Well, they realized they can't do that anymore. So now the new plan is called flood the field with SAP.
Yeah.
And that's a direct quote from Steve Bannon because he realizes, no, you can't do that anymore. That doesn't work anymore. But we can just flood the field with garbage. We will bury the stuff we don't want to know about.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's why it's important for us to promote WRWK. And I hope to get a whole lot of new listeners at Burning Man this week, too.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And we're here building the music and community side here. We've got the benefit, Bryan Park Bar and Grill, next Saturday, 6 to 11 p.m., five bands, all friends of the station. Several of them have been on the air here, and the others are interested in being on, and we're building that. It's a slow trudge toward civility, but we are getting the work done here.
Yeah.
And it's not about an ego thing or someone saying, I want to be on the air, I want to be a host, bragging about being on the air. It's about bringing people together. And Ron has definitely helped us see that you know, it's not an ego. It's not, look at us, we're on the air, let's get people on the air and make them feel special. We're getting a community, building people.
Yeah.
Into or, you know, bringing them into a community of saying, let's have life, let's have fun, and then let's talk civilly and seriously and rationally about these things.
Yeah.
And we have done that, you know. We are making a difference here. We have some naysayers who bother me and bother the station. We won't get into them, but they're wrong.
Yeah.
They said to me, your station is not useful. You're not being useful. That's wrong.
Yep.
We are useful.
Yep.
Well, the fact that they would even say that means you got their goat.
That's right.
It does.
Yeah, that makes our point, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Ironically, them even bothering to say that makes the point. Otherwise, they just wouldn't even say anything.
Yeah. We're honored that they even noticed us, considering they have such foreshortened lives. We have to pray for them in our way.
Yep.
Okay.
Anyway, well, so to speak. So how many miles do you have to go before you get to the actual Burning Man event?
Now, at this point, I think about 150, 200 miles left.
Oh, wow.
No.
That's not bad.
I'm pretty close. Yeah, I'm pretty close. I'm pretty close.
So the tires are good, the axles are good, the bumpers stayed on. I mean, no surprises, huh? No?
No lots of surprises. No, I think it's reached that point of where it kind of disintegrates as you go. It's kind of a zombie car.
I got you.
I just keep bolting his stuff back on. I got the screw gun handy.
Yep. Duct tape, the usual.
Well, yep, I just keep that.
Back in my day, it was all baling wire. You're lucky.
I'm using baling wire.
Oh, are you? Well, good ideas.
Yeah, because sometimes that's just what you got to use.
Yeah, duct tape's only so good. Even the real thing doesn't last that long. Well, that's exciting. See, they're going to give you an air-conditioned tent out there, huh?
They say they are. I'm about to find out.
I mean, otherwise you'd have to dig a hole.
Why this won't just work.
Yes, that's going to be exciting. But you're not going to, you have, of course you have Wi-Fi out there. They must have a very elaborate system.
They have something, yeah. Yes, they got Wi-Fi. Actually, well, these days I get cell phone coverage.
Well, feel free
at least, at least before the big event. Once the big event, there's like 90,000 people out there.
Sure.
Nothing works.
Really. Saturation.
Yeah, well, nothing works once you got that many people on the system.
Feel free to give us a communiques from the other side of the hope spectrum. These people are apparently are very, they're out there at the leading edge, right? The creatives.
We're kind of doing this fun fundraising improv thing Friday night, so appreciate it. You and whoever else could call in and talk like this.
Yeah,
oh, we won't be able to call in during the event. Uh-huh.
Okay.
No,
maybe.
Don't even get your host up.
After that. After that. I mean, you know, on Fridays.
I'm just going to tell you the truth. Like,
well, how long is Burning Man?
Completely overwhelmed.
How long is the festival event, all of it?
10 days.
So, not this Friday, but the following Friday, you could pop back in when we have one of these fundraisers.
Yeah, well, you can send us updates.
Possible.
You can send us updates.
Yep.
I could send you text messages. That'll get
through.
But
yep.
Yeah, voice, no chance.
Yep.
No chance.
Yeah, we'll be sure to tell people they can come to our Facebook page and give us some love.
Yes, or more than
that's
that.
That's the general idea. I'm going to turn them on to the station and say, hey, listen in, contribute famous women's quotes.
Yeah, nice. Greenback dollars.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's on the webpage, so yeah, of course.
Yeah, yes. Well, great. And we can send you some more cards. I found another box at the station of
you
cards.
You found more cards?
Business cards.
And the website is back up, and the info at email address, I'll put you back on it, Max, the info at email address is back up.
Oh, and make sure that the famous women's quotes are working.
Yeah, but I don't think
that's really important.
But yeah, well, I'd like to do a lot more like that. We are, in fact, we have a lot of plans for the site. We met a guy the other day who said he could help us do the graphic design, and a gal who does WordPress. So we're hoping to
good.
To begin to
you finally
look
found
at,
a WordPress guru.
Look a little more beautiful. Well, yeah. In fact, Mia. One of Mia's friends does WordPress, but it's really pretty common.
Excellent.
We just
it's so common that we couldn't find anybody for like 3 years. So.
Well, since Brooke died, we haven't had a manager.
You know. We've had serendipity around here, though.
Yeah. What
somebody's music program has us meeting all these people randomly.
Yeah. Oh gosh, it's been great. We met some amazing people. Yeah, and they'll all go to forwarding. Like this whole idea of having two music shows a week. And ideally, putting on an improv or comedy show, we call this. This, in fact, this is our fundraiser, But the comedian wasn't available, so Roger and I think it's dry wit, but we'll try. You know.
Yeah, at least we're laughing among ourselves.
That's right.
Here.
We chuckle.
Okay.
We're having a fun time here. We're making things happen, and.
Yep.
You just don't know who you'll meet if we put ourselves out there as whatever we are, music, interview, and useful information network, station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these people just keep coming in, you know.
Now that the virus is not virulent as it used to be, that we can get back into going to community events.
Social
events.
Yeah.
In fact, I wanted to mention promotionally, Ron, I told you this idea before, or in text, but for the event, we're going to have one of us phone record the bands. So if when they play an original song, we can get a recording of that and get it either in the loop or we can have a show like on the Monday after the event. My idea, just have like a show where we're playing these pre-recorded live loops of these bands that they need to get appreciation and something for what they're doing. They're playing each for an hour at the fundraiser for nothing. They're bringing all their equipment, practicing their gear, their instruments, and we want to support that, you know. So I'm just saying, putting it out there that that's what we're doing. And if I put it out there, I'm kind of affirming it to myself and making myself accountable in my sense. And that's going to happen, whether it's Ron filming, I mean, recording with his phone. Another guy I've met has recorded some of my things live through his phone, who's very good at it. We could get him. Mm-hmm. The band members could do it amongst themselves. But I think that's a cool idea on a music idea to have that.
Yeah, payback.
Yeah.
If nothing else, we'll have it on.
You're picking up where Brooke Saunders left off.
Yeah.
We are. Brooke had a lot of ideas. Mm-hmm. He didn't always get them accomplished the best way, but we're learning from.
Well,
definitely. I wouldn't even be here.
He's doing it all volunteer, so yeah, he kind of got overwhelmed.
Yeah, I wouldn't even be here if it weren't for Brooke, and I value that. Great guy.
So sad that he died in a traffic wreck.
Yeah, and everyone has their, you know, good and bad points, but when you don't expect that, it just blew me away hearing that. And, you know, just a loss. Someone like that, so dedicated to the community, a station, music, the music crowd, but helping people, not making much money at it.
Nope.
There's again, people say differently, but I was there. We had a PA from the 80s, barely worked.
Yeah.
We're bringing that around to these shows and benefits and setting that up, not a $20,000 system, and we're getting people to play at benefits, and they knew that.
Yeah.
They knew going into that, whether they admitted it or not, that this was a benefit for a nonprofit. So, yes, Ron is holding up four fingers. I don't know why.
We're closing on 2 hours. We're
and I'm on hours, a, I'm on a, whatever, a stand tier. on a rant, well, but the point is Brooke meant well, and we should honor that and just keep going.
Oh, yeah.
We could have a Brooke show of some kind. Yeah. Brooke left a lot of memories behind.
Yep.
Sure did.
Gave a lot of people chances, and we're doing the same thing. And I'm really kind of amazed at the number of people who just play for love.
Right, right.
I'm hoping to get a jazz. We were talking to Betty the other day, who might be able to set us up with some jazz people who just play for love. We may have to find a different studio. We're not sure how that's going to work out. But I'm looking forward to talking to her, because that would be fun. My big music is jazz.
Yeah, and if they do improvisation and don't exactly play standards that are, you know, not in the common thing. Things from the 40s or 30s and before. That's allowed on this station.
I guess you're right. Apparently a lot of jazz is repetition. But
it
I thought there was a lot of improv. But
it is mostly improv. Yeah. They're playing old songs and remaking them.
Oh, they start with a tune and...
Yeah. Or they make up their own. You can just do progressions and have it be your own composition. But yeah, we could do that. I know Betty. She goes to all the blues and jazz events. She organizes them.
Yeah.
Lovely woman, white hair.
Yeah.
Very active. Fun to be around. That would be a great addition to what we're doing. And blues, of course. You change the words, you have your own blues song.
That's right. That's right. Blues is a lived experience. In fact, when I think we were talking about CRT, I mean, blues, I think, came out of the fact that you were in an unfortunate situation, and you had to make the best of it by singing about it.
Right.
Even though it never would set you free, but it gave you some kind of solace.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And that can be looked at as Mia was saying, oh, that's a bunch of garbage. You know, we agree. I agree, and Lee did, and Ron, that, you know, that's a mythology saying that the slaves were happy and that's
joyful,
why they wrote the songs.
Yeah.
They were suffering their butts off.
Yeah.
And luckily they got hold of instruments from Africa that some of them brought over, and they played stuff. And they were not, there weren't guys going, hey, y'all slave people, keep playing this protest music. We really like it.
We love it,
They were probably against it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they had a lot of pushback in their time. They were allowed to sing certain songs and not others.
All right. Ron's given that signal, either that or something he's pointing up.
No, the light's not working. We're going on a full hour of our fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, a second hour of our fundraiser.
Yeah, so we should probably wrap it
anyway,
up here.
Well, Max, we wish you the best. Safe travels. Let us know when you get there.
Yeah, thanks.
We have more fun to be had, and we hope to get more fun. Really, we're trying to go back to the good old boring normal where things are just being done by the book, and we're enjoying it because we're making progress. You know, this hair on fire, change this, change that, dump the Constitution.
Normal is nice. If in this analogy, normal is good. It doesn't have to be boring. Don't say boring.
I use that word.
It's not boring. It's fun.
I'm Ron, translator here.
That's my new role.
Normal is fun. I meant to say that.
Yeah, that's what he was
saying. Let me repeat that differently. Yes. Restate myself. Anyway, Max, safe travels. Hug anybody I know.
Thanks.
Or anybody I don't know, for that matter.
Yeah, get some...
Whoever will accept it.
Yeah,
send
in Ron's name. Ron wants a hug for
you. Try to capture what it's like out there. And especially, I think it's a kind of a new world order, kind of like, this is what's possible when people come together in positive ways, with positive ideas. This is what humans can do.
Right. Right on.
All right. Well, I'll see you guys later.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Well, I guess it is. Thank you very much, Max, for calling
him.
All right. See if I can figure out how this phone works.
You're supposed to know how it works.
I know. I'm just kidding.
Wake up. That was the Max.
That was the Max, the man himself. Yes, indeed. So, well, this is WRWK, Midlothian, Virginia, and we're about to go back to our loop, which at this point in time is playing... let me see what it is. It must be about time for... This can't be right. Somebody must have stopped the loop.
Yeah, Lee stopped the loop.
Oh, did he stop the loop? Okay. So it's 8 o'clock. So this is 6. Could be... Oh, let's see. This is the 18th. Okay. And Democracy Now! And then the second hour was... So this is 6... And this is 7. And this is 8. Okay.
We're 2 hours in. Right?
Yeah, it looks like we're going to be playing the Tom Hartman show.
Right.
So, whoop-de-doo. So, I'm gonna play a little quote by Rosa Parks first. Thanks for calling in. We got a lot of people sending in checks. So, don't be late with yours. Glenn sends in a check every month. Sandy sent in a $200 check. Try to beat Sandy. Rebecca's check is coming. Leslie sends us $200 a year out of her retirement account.
Lisa
always sends a check. Just got another one today. Mac donated a Goldwing motorcycle. It hasn't run in a couple of years, but boy, is it beautiful. And Roger and I and Lee and Ian. I mean, there's a lot of regulars. So be a regular at the station. And if you think you can do a better job than we are doing, well, come on. And show us how to do it, because we want people to realize you can have a conversation about good things, make good things happen, spread good news.
If you like what we're doing, come in and help us, too. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a competition.
We're not afraid of ideas.
We're glad to talk ideas, but we'd rather have you come in on a positive note, not going, I can do it better than they can. Maybe you like what we're doing and you want to be part of it. I'm just messing with Ron here. We know what he's saying.
Feel free to join us in any sense you want. And if you want to bring in microphones or audio gear, we're welcome that too.
Yep.
And if you have a favorite event you think we should cover, school board meeting or something, you think it's going to be fun, I think we need to cover more of that, because I think that as the public understands how little input, good input, a lot of officials get, they really do need... to know what we think and understand that, like this whole thing, the city wants to give us gambling attacks on the most vulnerable people in the city. Wow, what a stupid idea. Who paid who how much to make this a good idea? I mean, this is an example of what people do when you leave them alone with lobbyists with big checkbooks. and you don't get a chance to say, I'm sorry, the city is about people. We don't injure them. We don't put them in harm's way. We try to make the world better for them. And this is an example of why stations like this one need to be around to help people say, oh, it sounded like a good idea, but maybe it wasn't the best one.
Right.
Maybe that's not what cities are about.
Agreed.
Anyway, that's just one little topic. I could go on, but I'm not going to bother.
Yes.
We love our city, and that means we have to contribute to it getting better any way we can. So not because we dislike it, because we love it. Same about the country. This country has a couple of imperfections we'd love to work on. But meanwhile, we're behind it because we want it to be good, better. What do you say? How about a model like Make America Greater? No, see, does that work?
No. Make it useful.
Make Americans useful. Anyway, we'll let you let us know what you think would be a good idea. Meanwhile, I'm going to put you back on the loop, Tom Hartman. So enjoy. This dude is worth listening to. He is very bright. And he'll bring news to you in a way that it'll make some sense in the context of humans on a planet with 90 years to do something. And he is trying to help us find useful things to do. So I say it's about time for me to give this show back to him. And let me see. Yep, there it is. I see it now. I need to turn the volume up on this. Oh, gosh, it turned off. All right. So, Tom Hartman, it will be. Thanks for listening. This is WRWK.